We're going to look at this one line where Venerable Atisha says, "Friends, until you attain enlightenment, the spiritual teacher is indispensable. Therefore, rely upon the holy spiritual guide." So Atisha started, until you attain enlightenment. It's not if you want to attain enlightenment. You will attain enlightenment. This is our goal. This is the meaning of human life. But until you do that, then you need to rely upon a qualified spiritual guide. We need to think about this and meditate a little bit on this. Maybe some determination will come. One is, yes, I can and will attain enlightenment, and two, in order to do that, I must rely sincerely upon a qualified spiritual guide. This is the meaning in this one line. So what is enlightenment? Maybe you think, I don't even know what it is. It never occurred to me that I have to attain enlightenment. Who said I have to attain enlightenment? What is this thing you're talking about? So enlightenment is basically our unfulfilled potential. Our unfulfilled potential. We all have the potential to attain enlightenment. In fact, that is our potential. If you're to develop a human mind to its full, it will become an enlightened mind. If we don't develop our mind, and if we don't attain enlightenment, so attaining enlightenment doesn't mean like going somewhere else to like some other land or something like that. It just means transforming our mind, removing all of the obstacles from our mind so that we can develop the potential within our mind to the full. If we don't do that, then we can say we will never be free from suffering. If we don't attain enlightenment, we will never be free from suffering, and we will never enjoy a pure, stable, lasting happiness. We will instead experience a life of frustration. No different from what we're experiencing right now. Very difficult to fulfill our wishes for our own sake, never mind our wishes to help and benefit others. So all the time we're seeking pleasure, we're seeking happiness, but it's so elusive. And even we find a few moments of pleasure, a few moments of it doesn't last, quickly degenerates, and then we are back again with suffering, with another problem. Maybe our mind's peaceful for a while, then anxiety comes back. Maybe we are satiated with some food or some music for a while, but then the craving comes back, and so on. So if we check, there's no contentment in our life. Just it's moved by dissatisfaction, because the nature of ordinary living is unsatisfactory. That is our experience, the quality of our experience. If we check, we never find lasting happiness. We never find lasting contentment. And we're never that far away from manifest suffering. It may be, especially us fortunate ones in the human realm, in modern society, maybe we have a few moments when it looks like no big problem. Did I just say that? We almost don't say that anymore because we know it's got a hex. But right now, my life's okay. No big problems. I've got a house. I've got a partner. I've got some food in the cupboard. I've got some sports that I enjoy, entertainments I enjoy. Pretty good, actually. Great friends. Got children. Got a dog. Sometimes we have these moments where we think, actually, life's not that bad. But then some part of us knows. There's an anxiety, isn't there, in there that knows. What do we know? We know that suffering or disappointment is just behind the curtains. We're never far away from some problem arising. However happy or contented we may be, it's just a question of time before it becomes a manifest problem. Manifest suffering, physical suffering or mental pain, anxiety or depression or unhappy mind or anger or resentment or aggression or unfulfilled desires and so forth. It's very rare that our mind is completely peaceful, free from all of these inner disturbances. And it's very rare that we're free from any manifest suffering. That's in a human life with the best conditions we could have. Imagine how it is for people less fortunate than us, and imagine how it is, for example, for animals and so on. So this is the nature of, we could say, impure life. Nature of impure life is suffering. Often manifest suffering, but always potential suffering, which could break out at any time. Always the potential for disappointment, for discontent, for dissatisfaction, for fear, for anxiety is there. Always there. And this will never change. This goes on and on and on throughout this life and through the next life and so forth. And we look around us, we can see, even though maybe we keep a smiling face and somebody says, how are you? And you say, oh, fine, thank you. We're not really telling the truth, are we? Because we're not fine. We've got all these issues that we're dealing with. So this doesn't change. So how? How can we become, how can we get to a point where there are no manifest problems, there's no manifest suffering, and there's no potential for suffering. There's no potential for problems to arise, completely free from problems and suffering. How do we get there? How do we get to a point where we experience a happiness, which I can say, we haven't yet experienced, a quality of happiness that's not just some temporary sensation of pleasure, but a deep contentment, a deep happiness in the heart. So the mind is always peaceful, always experiencing bliss. How did it get there? Only by attaining enlightenment. Only by attaining enlightenment. So maybe we haven't thought this through before, and maybe you have to go away after this course and think about that one, because that's quite a radical statement. But it's the truth. Only by attaining enlightenment can we become completely free from suffering, can we find pure happiness. And then, if you ask yourself, well, what can I do to help others? For sure, the people that I live with, the people that I work with, that I associate with, my friends and relatives and so forth, they've got all kinds of problems. I'm dealing with, honestly, some of them are really sad, some are unhappy, some have got all kinds of physical illnesses, experiencing horrible loss, deprivation, and so forth. And my heart breaks when I think that. But what do you feel? What do you feel most when you look at the suffering of others, just the suffering of those around? What do you feel? Helpless. Isn't that awful? It's awful that we live in a world pervaded by suffering, and then this feeling that you can't really do anything to stop it. We can administer, and we do, of course, whenever we can alleviate the suffering for a little while, but we can't provide lasting solutions for anybody. We can't solve our own problems. We can't solve our own suffering. How can we do that for others? So it's by becoming enlightened, we don't just focus on ourselves. We think, if I really want to help other people, if I want to bless other people with an enduring happiness, if I want to liberate people from problems and suffering, not temporarily, but help them find deep, permanent freedom from suffering and problems, I need something that I haven't got right now. I need some special power in my mind. I need freedom in my mind, special mental freedom, but I need some special power to bestow happiness upon others to free them from their suffering. And again, we cannot do this. We cannot help others unless we attain enlightenment. So I mean, we cannot, of course, temporarily, we can offer temporary help, but to offer lasting help, to be able to free people from suffering, not just humans, but any living being, to take them to a state where they abide always with peaceful, happy minds. I need to become enlightened. So for our own sake and for the sake of others, this should be the real purpose of our human life.